Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome to Down to Really Random Stuff with our host. I am your host, Guy, and the show tonight is brought to you by a group located on allpoetry.com called A Team of Voices. Allpoetry.com is the largest poetry site in the world, and it is free to join. So if you want to participate in the shows, drop some poems, hang out on the board, you can join and knock on the door of the Team of Voices, and Deborah Lee will be happy to let you in. I always like to say thank you also to Kevin and this group, quite up and running. Thanks for Deborah Lee for keeping the group up and running and the blog talk so we can share our poetry live. Tonight, as always, we talk about really random stuff on my show. Tonight we have a couple of topics that are going to consist of some sea cucumbers, the pink sea to Fantasia, bamboo trees, of course, we're going to have some trees in there, and the nightmare planet, the rains of terror. So, who guys like the topic, that's poems for you, some chatting. And of course, we had two open today because there was a little malfunction, but we got to enjoy two songs. The first one was by our own Jay Hatter, a lyric written by him. And the music played, written and played by Shout You Chai. And the second song that we listened to was Wiser by Old Man Bannon, and they hail from Vancouver, Canada, and they originated from the effort of the frontman Jet Pace, who managed to update folk and indie pop influences, kind of like Iron and Wine, Mumford and Sons kind of feel, to the electric format, not unlike the work of Jenari Neil Young. And what he created with his Crazy Horse project. So I hope you enjoyed that open and a little bit of this from both artists. And without further ado, I'm going to let our first caller, who's been waiting for a little while, but I had to check some stuff out. So hello, Rack and Jor.
Hello, Sky.
How are you tonight?
You know, cloudy skies. I'm all right.
That's good. Sorry I couldn't let you on. I know we usually have a little pre-show chat, but I was, I was out. How did you know I was out?
because half the time you're on your way home rushing to get the studio open, so.
I was out.
I got the vibe.
You got the vibe. You got the vibe that I was busy, which is most often the case. But today I did. I got home like 20 of 8, and I was like, go. So it was a pretty busy day. I didn't even go home after work. I went straight to where I needed to be, and here I am. So just sat down. But I did eat dinner. I where I needed to be, I got a lot of stuff done where I needed to be, and
that's good.
Yeah. I got some, I don't have a stove, as you know, I only have that top stove, and I had to do laundry, I don't have a laundry either, so I went over to my friend's house, and while I was doing laundry, no one was home yet except for the kids, so I cooked everybody dinner, and then I took all the leftovers, even though it was their food. They were like, just take the leftovers home for you. So I got all my meal prepping done for the next couple of days after that.
Nice.
So, yeah, and it's not even my food. So, as you know, I didn't have to buy it. I just cooked it. And the meal went over well. They liked it. I made mushroom-dipped chicken with some breadcrumbs, some chicken thighs, and... Yeah, and some broccoli and mashed potatoes. So it was a hit.
Yum.
I don't usually cook for everybody. Everybody's like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I have to do my laundry, so no one's home. I figured I'd start dinner. They're like, oh, okay. Meanwhile, I don't even live there, but it's fine.
As long as you don't put the laundry detergent on the chicken.
Yeah. I live in an apartment, so, it beats going to a laundromat. I don't ever have to pay for, I just go to my friend's house. Just to save their home. But, I know that you were excited to talk about sea cucumbers.
I'm sorry?
I said, I know that you were super excited to talk about sea cucumbers.
Yes, yeah, sea cucumbers and bamboo.
I have one poem on my topic board right now. So I'm going to let you have free reign, and we're just going to chat. And I do have pay, but I'm going to wait a little bit. And we can talk about things see through Fantasia really quick, or really long, or however long it takes.
Well, sea cucumbers are interesting. I think the bamboo is going to steal the show, though.
You think so?
Bamboo is kind of amazing. You know, it's the fastest growing plant.
Don't talk about the bamboo yet. Talking about the pinky blue fantasia.
They look like debris.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say a little bit about it, and then we can go off the hilt on it. I want to save the bamboo for a bit because Kay wrote to it, and I want to just wait for that first. Fantasia, the unique sea cucumber. Its title makes it seem like really weird, but don't be deceived. See-through cucumber was discovered about 15 miles deep into the sea and westward Pacific East Borneo. So it was found about 2007. And it's quite unusual. And, you know, it spears its long-time evolution, its bioilluminance to ward off the predators, of course. Its see-through fantasia is described for its transparent skin through which its mouth and buttocks and intestines are all visible. When I say buttocks, you know, it's the eight.
Yep.
So I'm not really sure how I mean, it's kind of weird. Like, just, I'm not going to lie.
Think of it kind of like, it's kind of like a straw. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff in between, but, you know, there's two open ends and a bunch of junk in between, and you could see right through it.
Yeah, but you got to see it all. Yeah. I don't know. So do you have any fun facts that you want to share that you know? Because and you don't have to, but correct me if I'm wrong, I thought you knew a little bit about this one because you were like...
Very little, only because it's so weird and I gravitate towards weirdness. So, you know, the whole bioluminescence stuff and the see-throughness, it reminds me a little of some of the jellyfish and some of the other things. But the thing that's most fascinating to me is the bioluminescence because, you know, that kind of glow-in-the-dark type stuff, even in the insect world, things like, the scorpion, it luminesces under black light. So that's just, you know, odd to me. And you know, why would nature do that? You know, it's kind of calling attention to something that's trying to hide. So it's fascinating. I believe it's also toxic. So there's that.
I just love things that glow in the dark.
There was a scientist that was trying to do research, And one of the traits that he tried to replicate from the nature, he took the bioluminescence and made a rabbit that glowed in the dark. He grafted the DNA properties that gave it its bioluminescence to a rabbit and made a glow in the dark rabbit.
Hey, I don't know about gene splicing. I don't know how I feel about that. Did you see the new Jurassic Park yet? Or any of them?
No.
Jurassic World?
No.
Gene,
no.
Gene splicing is never good. It's never, never good. I wonder if Kate's
right.
Listening. I know she's on the road. The new Jurassic World. Oh, I guess it's not what I was supposed to do. I wasn't supposed to put that link there, but we'll figure it out. I'll figure out one. I don't know how I feel about that, but I feel like I want to write one of my little, do those fear series. That didn't work either. That's
uh-huh.
What I'm doing, it's working in sports. I do those little children fear series poems, you know, and I do
uh-huh.
Regular creatures, like, you know, I have, you know, Mallory the manatee. I'm thinking I'm going to start to do them again and start writing them again, but with these weird creatures that I find. Because I feel like that's what I want to do.
He could be his own nightlight.
I know. I have one about Kayupa, and that's the name I named him, the bioluminous shrimp. I do have something. He went with, you know, the another sea creature, but I don't know. So I think I'm going to start to go off the hill for a little and try to do these unique creatures. But I think it'll be fun. All right,
yeah,
I'll
certainly.
Stop torturing you.
Yeah.
I know you really want to talk about the bamboo. Well, hold on, one more thing. I'm all set. Okay, go ahead. Because I know you're super excited to talk about the bamboo.
The least obvious thing about the bamboo is that it's a type of grass. It's not a tree, even though there are bamboo trees. I guess they call them bamboo trees, but it's in the grass family, if I'm not mistaken. And it's the fastest growing plant. And they make clothes and all kinds of stuff out of it. And it's very durable. And obviously, it's easily refreshable because it grows so fast. They used to use it in Vietnam as a form of torture, which is kind of wild. They had a table where they had it planted underneath, and the stuff literally grew through whatever was in its way. So it would, like, grow through you, and that's how they would torture you.
That's interesting.
Lovely.
Yeah, it grows 47.6 inches in a 24-hour period. So think about how much, think about how much oxygen. They release 35% more oxygen than any equivalent stand of trees. So it's a great way to reduce our carbon footprint and to help fight global warming.
They make clothes out of it. Naturally moisture-wicking.
Yeah, I said that.
Naturally moisture-wicking and what's the word? It rejects the stuff that eats your clothes. I'm drawing a complete blank. I know what I'm thinking. It's
Mom?
Destructive. Damn it. No, not moss. It's a growth. It's resistant to.
Well, it offers UV protection. Let's start with that.
Uh-huh.
So that's great. You were right on the money with the moisture wicking. It's an antibacterial.
That's the one. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Good for sensitive skin. Yeah, it's breathable. Ultra soft, and it's really safe for our environment. Because it's bamboo.
Well, I mean, to me, To me, the antibacterial is really cool because, you know, you sweat in your clothes, so that stuff gets in the fibers or whatever and leaves odors and it eats the clothes. But if that's antibacterial, then that's going to be safe from you know, sweat. It's going to be something that, you know, is kind of cool to sweat in because it's going to wick it and it's going to, you know, not pick up the garbage that comes with it. Because sweat is nasty or tasty.
Yep, so it helps fight odors, which is good also. It filters up to 97.5 of UV radiation.
Sweet.
I think I'm going to, and, there's, it helps prevent wrinkles. I think it's hypoallergenic, so it's really good for sensitive skin. It's a sustainably grown crop, so when people use it, you know, they don't have to worry about they can grow. It could really help with deforestation, right?
Right.
Because it grows so fast, but it's sustainable.
You're not going to wipe it out.
So,
yeah.
It does tend to shrink, you know, so we have to watch out for that. It's more expensive than cotton, obviously. But
and
I feel like this is a good investment to our world. Yeah.
Yeah. It's durable.
Now, did you know they make clothes out of it, or is it just because I keep on saying it every 5 minutes?
No, I know. It's you know, once you cross that bridge and you start looking into it, it's like, you know, one thing kind of leads into the next, and you know, especially if you got OCD, you know, it kind of takes over. It's like, ooh, this relates to this and leads down this path, and then next thing you know, you're like, you know, man, you know, if I was one of those people that was into the stocks and whatnot, that's definitely something I would want to invest in.
It's a bio replacement for wood, and it can be harvested 3 to 5 years versus 10 to 20 years from a soft wood. It can out-yield pine 6-to-1 and biomass production. And it's also one of the strongest building materials with a tensile strength of 28,000 PSI. Now, I'm not sure what that means because I'm not a scientist, but looks good.
Before it snaps, that's how much pressure you have to, that's how much pressure before it breaks. So,
yeah,
like,
but how much is 28,000 PSI, like, comparatively?
Well, if you look at the scale, it'll show you, you know, like compared to pine and oak and things like that, where it falls. The nice thing about it is, in my mind, I know it's like you mentioned building materials. The floor tiles, if you use the bamboo tiles in your kitchen, it's one of the preferred materials because of its moisture wicking and the bioresist You just said it, and I'm still. It just slipped through my head again already. because then you know things that it absorbs sound and things like that under your feet, and it's great for, like, you know, if you drop something, it's easy to clean up and whatnot. It's really very, very efficient. It's a preferred material for floor tile.
Yeah, you know what? It can be. So I got a few more facts here too. So it's a great soil conservation tool. It reduces erosion, thumbs of stem flow rate in canopy intercept of 25%, and this dramatically reduces rain runoff, preventing massive soil erosion, so making it very earth friendly. But here's the interesting part: it can be eaten. New shoots made into fiber for clothing can be used to cut. this is good. Concrete reinforcement. It can provide great livestock feed, with the foliage being up to 22% protein. It can be machined into numerous forms of lumber, etc. And it might be easier to compile a list of what bamboo cannot be used for than what it can be used for.
Yeah.
So I think bamboo takes a win. I think you're right.
I mean, that alone is cool because, you know, the oddity, the thing about it, it's just, I don't know, it's kind of hard to talk about because those, like, you know, pretty. And then once you get past pretty, it's like, okay, now what? I mean, no one's going to cook it.
That sea cucumber is, like, really weird looking. I don't know. I mean, pink, I don't know. I don't know if pretty is the first thing that goes on my mind, but it's pretty. It looks like an alien. I'm not going to lie. It looks like something out of, it should be in the Abyss. You know, have you seen that film?
Yeah, yeah.
The aliens come in. Yeah, I feel like it should be like you're down in the depths of the ocean and there's some really weird things going on. And all of a sudden that little guy shows up.
What was it you said, 2007 when they found it? So imagine, like, you know, you're in the water and you see this thing floating by and you think it's like a plastic bag or something, and then you find out, oh, my God, it's alive.
Oh, my
God. And you know, you see the light, it's like, you know, oh, my God, it's glowing. You know, it's just surprise. Although
yeah,
I don't think you would see it.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. So during earthquakes in Asian countries, people run into bamboo groves and forests due to the very safe and stable root structure, but also their symbolism for luck and fortune. Love that.
Hmm.
Sinews are carbonized bamboo filament in his very first successful light bulb. Just full of facts. Someone said to me, I was a teacher, because I was just, like, we were just talking, and then she goes, you have a lot of random facts. Random information. And I said, I know. And she goes, I feel like you could get paid to just sit on a, you could just prop you up on the side of the road with a little test, and you can just sit there and tell people really random things as they go by it. And she doesn't even know I do the show. She doesn't even know that I do the blog talk show called Down to Really Random Stuff. But she's just like, we can just prop you up on the side of the road and people can just pay you to tell you really weird, you know, random things. I'm like, and I just started laughing. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. No.
$5 random facts.
$5 random facts. Yeah, I like that. I like this. So funny.
Get more bang for your buck.
Okay, so what I'm going to do
the dark
is...
planet?
Huh?
You can wait to talk about the dark planet, too?
Yeah, I don't want to brush too many at once, but you seemed very excited about the bamboo, so I did. So I'm going to say this one more last fact. Not the last fact, but the last fact before I play Kay's audio. Yeah, and she's pretty excited about this one, so I'm really excited to hear. I have not listened to it yet. But I just want to, in case Sweet is listening or is going to listen, snakes don't like bamboo. So apparently,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I guess so. So bamboo mulch is too loud for them to slither through to cold. And they don't like cold and they like quiet places. So it's too cold and it makes too much noise. And often the stems are too slippery to climb. So they much prefer the bark of tree branches or sunny rocks. So I mean, Sweet can just plant a bunch of bamboo trees around her house, and she'll have food, clothing, and no snakes, and oxygen. So I think she'll be good to go.
Yeah. Yep. And she could start breeding panda bears because that's what they eat.
Yeah, so we're good, right? Yeah. Oh, okay, one more thing. One more thing before I drop things. So bamboo rarely flowers in seeds, only about every 100 years or so. When it does, every plant of that same species seeds at the exact same time across the globe. That's interesting. I wonder how that works out. Oh, and you were just talking about panda. I'm never going to get to Cape. One more thing, because you were just talking about pandas. Okay. A panda's diet is 99% made up of bamboo shoots, poles, and leaves, around 12 to 38 kilograms every day. And the other 1% is made up of meat and other plants. So, you are full of fat. Me too. Okay, we're
really random stuff.
Really random stuff. Okay. So I'm going to drop K, and I have an audio. So I don't know if she's listening on the radio while she's driving. I know she's coming to check with Father's Day going on. If you are, hello. If you're going to listen to the playback, hello. If you are, I hope you have a nice night celebrating Dad's Day. If you're listening to it later, I hope you had a nice night celebrating Dad's Day. Come on, that was a funny joke. Oh, a little bit? No?
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I've got Kay's audio. And she wrote to the bamboo shoots.
Wow, oh,
bamboo.
Shoot.
Okay, here we go.
Unwithered and Luxuriant by Kay. Evergreen perennial blooms tide.
I'm just going to read that.
Unwithered and Luxuriant by Kay. Evergreen perennial blooms tide. To ride on nigh, the light so far in the plumes of moonlight curtains. Hide it on the side as tides bloom in the quiet. Wind fresh and loss of origami potpourri, shade in Ionian. Free spirit and hushes, polite quicksilver mountain climbs, sprout a mint of nonchalantly keys, unlock and all, back pockets and dusty magnification, thermal summer, rivulets of briny vessel of gods and senses, gentle knees, slumber, childlike, find the energy, hands reaching through, blithe and lilts, marrow's flavor of vein, polyeaten. Tiny voices, the knees, traumatized yet unaware, still tiny voices, barreled avert and seedlings not sallow in the mist through countenances of whispers. End poem.
Excellent. So this is a dual prompt, and it was also done for the Poetic Flight of Light show on the to tomorrow, writing a Midsummer Night Dream. For the quote, I know a bank where the wild vine blows, where oxlips and the nodding violet grows, quiet over canopy, the luscious woodbine, his sweet musk roses, and with aglantine. What's that? Okay, and also for the bamboo shoots. I thought this was excellent. I really loved the flow, especially in the first stanza. I think it was my favorite, was the first stanza. How, and it was actually the whole thing, the evergreen perennial blooms of tide. And then she goes into this, like, really kind of, like, triple rhyme here. Because she goes into the blooms tide to ride on nigh. I really love that. If I was scrolling around AP and looking for something to read, you know how it just sometimes it just shows you that top line and you only get a little bit of section? And I saw evergreen perennial. Yeah. And blooms tide to ride on nigh, a light so far and the plumes of midnight curtains. Moonlight curtains. I would click. I would definitely click because I really love this. Hiding in the sky as tides bloom in the quiet. It is so lyrical, and yet there's no, like, rhyme form or anything like that. It just naturally flows. And there's little bits of, like, inner line rhyme, but not, it's very slight. It's very, very slight. It's very subtle And it's not even through the entire thing. It's just in that beginning. And then because, you know, the side as tides, bloom, and the quiet, I just thought it paired together so beautifully. Great scene setting. And, the thing I remember about watching, A Midsummer's Night Dream, and I just recently watched it. I had read it, not for the show. It was a coincidence with the show, actually, because my godmother had a project. And I'd seen, the 1999 or 1990 version, upper 90s. The thing is that it's very earthy, obviously. There's lots of fairies and, there's the fawn and beautiful and lush with things of that fantasy nature. And then has all those themes of trickery, and so I think bringing in, I'm going to throw a little love dust here and a little love stuff there and cause a bunch of mayhem and chaos. And I think that the first stanza really brings in that lush scenery. And then going down to the free spirit and crushes, light and flicks over mountain climbs. I also like that. I thought it was quite brilliant. And I remember her saying she was excited about this one. I can definitely see why. The gods and senses bringing in, and gentle, less somber, childlike, find the energy hands reaching through, trying to the inner workings and reflection of that play. So I really liked that part too. And then I think it fits wonderfully with the earthly nature of the bamboo. Because if you look at that the picture that I posted, I know that you have a good time with that, but if you see the picture of the bamboo forest that I posted with the prompt, it's very woodsy, very earthy, and magical. I told Kay and Steven the other day, I said, I want to win a lot of money, and I just want to go visit a bunch of tree places all over the world. Like, that's all I want to do. Just go and go on lakes. So go on lakes and visit a bunch of tree places for the rest of my days, and I'd be happy. But you definitely brought it here. Hey, I can definitely see the nuances of that play, of that Shakespearean play, and I think how you tied them both couldn't be more perfect. And I really did like I said, the flow, even though it's really pre-verse, but to me, it had a Lilith type of tone, which I really enjoyed. Zach and Joel, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if you wanted to give bamboo a specific kind of trait, magical would definitely be one of them. There's so much about it that it kind of defies logic almost. You look at it and you don't understand how sturdy it really is. And then, you try and cut through it. That's one of the things, if you've ever watched the Discovery Channel, they have the shows where they make the swords and stuff. They'll take bamboo, and that's what they'll use to test the sharpness of a sword, that they'll try and cut through the bamboo and see how cleanly it cuts through and whatnot. The nature of the bamboo, because it's hollow in the middle, makes it hard to cut, like that. So you need a really sharp knife to slice through something like that. So it's misleading. You look at it and you see this tree and it bends with the wind, which is very zen, because it bends and doesn't break. But the fact that it doesn't break and it's got that tensile strength that you've been talking about, that it's not readily apparent. It's just designed by nature so wonderfully, and that's what makes it so magical to me, all of its properties. So I could see tying that together, and she's got a lot of mystical things in her poem as well that pair well. She's talking about the moon growing in the moonlight. That kind of sums up Midsummer Night's Dream as well for me. That idea of the the mischief and the fun in the evenings and the partying kind of goes hand in hand. So it's just lovely and whimsical at the same time, and definitely paired well with the bamboo, like you said.
Excellent comments. Thank you. And Kay, I appreciate so much that you wrote and that you provided me the sound file because I way prefer you reading your work. So I really appreciate you taking the time to do that. I know you're pretty busy, so thank you. And I just
I got to run for a minute. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay. And because I just want to just plug for Kay because she couldn't call herself, I just want to say that tomorrow night on A Poetic Slice, the 15th, at 10 o'clock Eastern Time, they are doing, as I said, the Midnight Summer Stream. So there's some quotes there. Of course, you could write to the themes, the story of itself. There's some really cool quotes. I would definitely go check that out. So that's tomorrow night. And there's no movement of sound this week. But Friday, something different with the request at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They are celebrating Father's Day. So you could bring your Father's Day poem. And Saturday, of course, is my show. And that is on also at 8 p.m. Standard Time. And we are doing Mulan live action animation. You can write to any of the themes, characters, quotes. You can go off topic, even as long as it's on topic to the quote itself. And that show is going to have some more music than usual. Really enjoyed the live action remake, so I'm excited to talk about that. And we are just going to go one more into the mortuary. And it is at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday. And it's a true crime. And they're going to visit the made-for-movie TV miniseries, The Original Desperate Housewives, before it was even being the phrase Candy Montgomery. So Candy Montgomery, an American homemaker, she was accused of some crimes. And you could check that out over at the mortuary topic list. And without further ado, I have someone waiting that I bring on here. Hello,
unmuted.
And welcome to Really
unmuted.
Random Stuff. Unmuted.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Hey.
How are you? Sky.
How are you? How's it going? I'm glad to hear you.
Yeah.
Glad to hear your beautiful
just checking
voice.
On things.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. We're talking some really random stuff. We just read Kay's poem. I don't think you were here for it, but if you were, you're welcome to interrupt me and say something, but I don't think you were here for it.
No, I just missed it.
If you ever want to go back, it's pretty good. I would definitely recommend it. But tonight, Hatter, we are talking... We're talking sea cucumber, all right? So pink see-through fantasia in the sea, of course. We're talking bamboo, and we just went over all the good things that bamboo offers the earth. We spent actually a lot of time talking about bamboo.
Bongs?
And
did
we
you go bongs?
No, I didn't go that.
Okay.
I didn't go there.
Stay in school.
Okay, yeah, stay in school. I went over the good facts that how it gives back to our earth and bamboo clothing and how much oxygen, it produces and all those and how, you know, it could help with deforestation because they grow so fast and you know, all those good things. And the only one we have left to talk about is the Nightmare Planet. And we haven't gotten to that one. So I see that you have not put down a phone. If you have anything related to any of those things, even if it's fiction or fantasy, you can find me a poem and read it to me. So the Nightmare Planet, you could even give me a poem about nightmares. I'm pretty.
I'm finishing mine up right now. Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Oh, okay. Well, let's first. Hello, and welcome to Down the Tube. How are you?
Hello, Sky. How are you?
Good. Hello, AP. I'm glad to see you here. Hear you here. Hear you here.
I'm here. I'm
awesome.
Here. And just in time, too, because my little poem was about bamboo, and you're just about to talk about planets.
Yeah, we've been talking about bamboo. There was so much stuff. So, I mean, you're welcome to, you know, say anything you want that you know about bamboo. If you want to, you can teach me something, and you can actually throw that up right now because I'm quite ready for you. And we've got
phrasing
bamboo the past half hour.
All I can say is that, you know, but apart from that, I did have bamboo when I was a kid in one of the houses that I grew up in, because we moved around a lot. And this bamboo was quite remarkable because it literally, you know, it was quite mature, and you could see it growing, you know, like you'd start at one end of the day and the bamboo was X size. You look at it at the end of the day and quite literally it had grown in the day if it was the right conditions. And the other thing about it is that there was this stand and it was so thick, you couldn't hit anything through it. I tried. You couldn't hit anything through it. It was like, you know, it just an amazing material, really. And but the thing that got me was just watching it, because it like it was alive, you know.
Yeah, we were talking about how fast it grows. Quite amazing. So, I mean, it can grow to 47.6 inches in a 24-hour period.
Quite remarkable.
That's a lot.
It is. It's huge. It's huge. Anyway, so you probably said everything that there is to say about bamboo, but I've got a little poem anyway.
I don't know.
You know, I'll just sort of throw it in there, yeah? So, and I'm not saying it's, you know, this is not a poem of great worldly eloquence about bamboo. It's just a poem about bamboo.
Okay.
So this is Size Through, which is up on the board, and it goes a little bit like this. It sighs through plastic, yet cute, cuddly things chew. Shoots don't just snick, they push and carve through. Woody without a flower, a forest can grow in a week. As vast forests in Japan tower, the skies these soldiers seek. For building and in ornaments, this diverse material is sought, while my native forest bent is where these true beauty is taught. With the elegance of the stalk and of the spread of the leaves, protected groves as walk through a forest while it breathes. End poem.
Oh, I love that ending. I mean, not the whole piece, but I really love the breathing of the forest walking through. I mean, because you always think about, when you think about what, well, not you, but I personally, when I think about going through the woods or going forest, even when I see that picture that I use as a prompt, I think about myself walking through and breathing in.
Yeah.
And having a breath, but to turn it around, you know, we're all selfish creatures, me included. Like, never really, when you think about it, you know, that the forest is really breathing too. You know, we're kind of, you know, together in that. I actually seen this meme the other day. It was like the forest, the trees are actually harvesting us, because they're giving us enough oxygen so one day
yes.
we can die and they can consume us. Yeah, I thought it was really great. I'm like, well, you think about it that way. But I
yeah.
love that ending
yeah.
because it just puts a different perspective on it, and it makes me, you know, I always feel like the trees are alive, but just the verbiage and the way that you interpret that, I don't know, I just really love that. I love that little additive. I like how you bring in the size through plastic, and it makes me think of where there's a will, there's a way. You know, you see all those
yeah.
different types of things where, like, the forest or the trees take back certain things. Like, they literally just grow over man-made stuff, and they take it. But that's what it makes me think of, like, these things, these durable, beautiful lights that kind of just are amazing. And that's what it makes me think of when you say they push and curve through. And I like how you speak of the flowering, because they are without flowers. I did learn they flower every 100 years, and then they all flower at the same time if they're from the same seed. But I mean, they do get harvested quickly sometimes, so you know they're pretty barren. And then also the vast forest in Japan Tower, the sky, the soldiers see. And I did a little bit of reading, and they're sacred to in certain places in Asia. So I really love how you bring that in too. And to the thick forest protecting, they probably have a very good shelter as well. I mean, you brought in a lot of things, and then diverse materials. And we just went through like 30 minutes talking about all the different materials that they can be used for. So I love that you brought in that too. I mean, you brought in pretty much everything I was talking about for the past half hour in this great piece. You pretty much just consolidated it and gave a little bit of homage and a little bit of tribute to the wonderfulness of the bamboo. And I have to say, I really still, the ending is my favorite. It really made me smile to think about that. Brilliant piece. Thank you so much, JP.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
You always have some fascinating things to talk about. It seems to be that it's always in the middle of a work event or stuff going on when I need to be there. But anyway, you know, shrug.
Oh,
you know,
that's okay. You make it a lot. Yeah.
So,
I think
you know,
I
get by when I can. But anyway, I am going to have to disappear again. But thank you for fitting me in with my little bamboo poem. And have fun.
Yeah, so listen to the after show. Someone in McHatter in 5 hours. So if you get a chance, listen to the after show so you can hear them. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much,
okay.
JP. All right.
Thanks again, Scott.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, Hatter. Now that I, you know, did all that talking, what do you think?
No, I like it. I like it. I like the whole subject. Bamboo. For every group of farms, you will find a stand of bamboo somewhere on it. It's great building material. Believe it or not, for my chickens, I built a castle out of bamboo because it's straight. They're straight, easy to harvest, and it looks good. Now the poem, of course, AP, you know, just the way he pieces everything together. I wish he does it in a manner I can't even think of. That's why those evil forward backward poems.
Yeah. Thank you, Hatter.
Palindrome.
There you go.
Yeah, they are a little evil. I tried my hand at one, and I have to say, it's okay, but I wouldn't say it's my most successful poem ever. And it was only the one that I tried, and I was like, yeah, this is cool for a try. I think I'll move on to something else.
I need the small words.
Do you know what it is? I'm very like when I write a lot, many, not everything, but when I write a lot of things, I'm very like story based, and it's really hard to have a progression, a beginning, a middle, and end with that because it's not successful. I feel like if I would have picked a different subject when I was doing it, I wouldn't have been so difficult for me. But the fact that I was trying to do it in a poem that required a story, it was very difficult for me.
I think next time I try it,
I won't be so stubborn about sticking with the story.
I think I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Piecing it together. And I need the little words. And that's what you got to eliminate when you go backwards.
It's not,
it's,
hashtag. Yeah. Ooh. Something's happening. All right, so Rack, what do you think about AP Foam?
I'm going to use your reason from now on. It's a story. It's a story. A beginning, a middle, and an end.
And you're going to be a little less stubborn than I am, because once I'm in a reign of track, I don't care if it's for a contest, I don't care if it's for anything. If I'm on a track, I can't off-track myself to conform to what I'm doing. And I'll be like, I'm sorry, I couldn't do it. I tried. This is what happened, and this is what I had to do.
Well, that's what AP did.
Well,
AP had a prompt of a palindrome. And I told him my dog ate it. Then I just go, you know what? I just can't do it. Can't do it. I don't care for the evil thing.
Some things are not for everybody.
Yeah.
Brad, what do you think about AP's poem?
I didn't hear it. I got on just as you were talking about, I believe you were saying something along the lines of the trees being the lungs of the earth. Because I've heard that expression before as well. So, you know, that's very true.
Well, thank you, Rack and Tora. And let's all say hi to Deb.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I am okay. How are you?
Great. Did you read here and or have anything to contribute for AP's poem?
I don't think
you were on either, but I want to ask.
I did not hear, but I did read while you chatted, and yes, I'd like to comment. I thought it was really cool that the way it reads from top to bottom, it shows all the versatility of the bamboo. but I really like the fact that, are you still here, that you talked in the part about the cute cuddly things that chew on it. And I think that, like, you did it all with your elegant rhyme and flow. And at the bottom you say our protected grows as walk through the forest while it breaches. I mean, while it breathes. Are they protected? The growth.
AP is not here anymore.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. I was wondering if that was a fact that he read. I was going to do that one, and then I came to the board and I looked, and Kay had one, and I know that you really like to at least get one from each one, so I picked a different one, and then I sort of nudged Hatter a little bit for another one so that, you know, you'd have all the bases covered. So, you know, it worked out quite well, but I was curious as to whether it's a protected item, because I had mentioned when I was pushing your show on my show, I had mentioned that there's a house not too far from here who has a big patch of it next to their house. It blocks the wind, it helps with sound, and it's sort of protection on the property. And I saw another place today on the way home from picking up my son that had a patch of it, and I never noticed it before, because now Sky made me read about bamboo, and now I see it all over the place.
Every farm will have it. Every farm will have it, or there'll be one nearby, a grove of bamboo.
So I don't think they're protected only because they're one of the fastest. They are the fastest growing plant on the earth, period. And they are really good to use. If you buy clothing made out of bamboo, you can do so many things with it. It's actually better to use it because it also can help with deforestation because they grow so fast. And using that instead of other trees that take 10 to 20 years to fully grow, and these only take, a very short period of time, it's actually it's better for the earth to actually go in this direction. And we were talking about how Thomas Edison used the bamboo as the first filament for the first light bulb. So, I mean, it's to me all the things. So, I'm not going to say all the things that we said before, but, you know, I'm putting some of it on the board if people want to catch up. But, like, the bamboo definitely stole the show for me and Rex. We were just talking about bamboo for like a half an hour.
Yeah. You know, a bamboo stand is impenetrable. You can't walk through it. It can get so thick, you can't walk through it.
And we found a great fact for Sweet Pea, because snakes don't like bamboo because they're slippery. They make a lot of noise when you rustle through them, and they're cold, so snakes avoid them. So we thought that Sweet can just cover her house, put in the bamboo all over her house, and she would be fine.
About the bamboo snake. Bamboo snake, another one.
Oh, well,
it's also called a 100-step snake.
Oh, after you get bitten, you die. You take 100 steps and you die.
Yeah, that's about how much time you got. Bamboo snake.
I'm loading the board with the bamboo facts. So, if you guys, if anybody did want to kind of go through what. You know, what me and Rack were kind of just talking about for like, because, you know, whatever. It's
well,
on there.
Well,
but,
you know, Sky, it leaves some people bamboozled.
Bamboozled.
I know. Oh, my God. Yeah. So, and we. Yeah, I forgot totally where I was going. I lost my earbud. I remember where I was going now. Can you? AP had to read and run, and I gave him like a 30-minute comment pretty much all the time to figure out. Hey, could you plug for his show for him? Any shows that he has coming up?
I have to verify. Whether or not he's going to be doing Tic Mac Banjo this month. So I don't want to speak on that just in case. But we have Saturday with Hatter and him and myself, and I'm looking right now real quick. I don't know. Hatter, what's your topic for Saturday? For Hatter Day, do we have...
Oh. Yeah,
Chicken Castle.
We postponed. AP got to pick his birthday was last Saturday, right?
Yes.
And you know what? I think I wrote one just in case, and I think. He used it that night, and I didn't pick one.
Well, I'll tell you what. How about if we just tell them that we're doing a show on Saturday night and that we will have the topic updated by tomorrow? And I haven't...
That's a good idea.
I know that Sweet had said she'd be back on the 15th, but I have not spoken to her, so I didn't change that date for her. I miss her. I can't wait till she comes back. But in the meantime, I sound like a dummy, so let's
okay.
skip that part.
I remember now. It was tea.
Okay.
It was tea. Tea. Remember? T-E-A.
Yeah, but we already did that show.
Well, yeah. Wasn't that...
We did the tea that you picked, but AP thought he picked it and he hosted, and then his week was his birthday, and then it was your turn. So
seesaw.
We did the seesaw. Yeah. So I don't know, but like, were you? How about if we figure it out?
Yeah.
Off
okay.
of the Sky Show.
Okay, sorry.
But what are you doing Monday? Because that's what I know that I reserve things and I give you IOUs, but I'm always quite interested. I'm just so terrible.
Oh, well, IOUs are always fun. And on Monday, I got a new watercolor artist. Her name is Demetra Milan, and she's got beautifully colorful art. Yes, some amazing choices. And then I also have a dozen quotes with people like Alex Trebek and Longfellow and Laura Ingalls Wilder even. So you just pick one of the 12 quotes as an inspiration and then pick some art to go with it and run with it. And even if all you do is pick your photo and hold it for an IOU, Sky, I love your IOU, so it's all good. Just saying.
Whenever I do, I will say I always still try to make it for the first hour, even if I don't write for you, so that we can share a little bit of time. I do try my best at that, and I love doing it. I just don't always – I haven't had a lot of time to write. I have to be in a good space. That's a bad form, because I'm not in a bad space, but I have to be in a quiet, reflective space, and I haven't had that lately, but so I appreciate it. And you know what? We had Laura Ingalls Wilder at the school today.
Oh, yeah?
We did. It was dressed up as your favorite book or movie character, and one of the teachers, it was actually my goddaughter's teacher, she dressed up as, and it's funny because I won't say what name, but one of her names is very close to one of the names that are in those names, so it was hilarious because it was fun. I won't say which name it is. And it's not the same thing, it's just... sounds slightly like it, so it was kind of cool, but it was fun. I had a lot of anxiety about picking what favorite character I would be, so much so that I didn't do anything. Plus, I was too busy to go figure out a costume, and I really have been super busy. So I was like the boring teacher who didn't dress up. But tomorrow's backwards day, and I totally plan on putting my shirt backwards, so I'll be back in the game with that. It's the last week of school.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's the last week of school. So they were doing all these fun things every day. So Friday is beach day. So we'll just all be wearing our. We could bring anything you want. Bring sunglasses, tubes, towels, sand stuff, whatever. You know.
So
I'll live
fun.
It up on that day.
And
anyway,
mentioned Laura Ingalls Wilder, her quote is, "If you truly love nature, you will find beauty everywhere." So, check out the topic.
Yeah, I like that one. I have a thing that we didn't actually say. I think at some point we'll start talking about the planet. But one more thing, bamboo pops. I didn't say this one live. And bamboo is not a flammable material. It does, however, make a loud popping sound and a fire due to the air pockets between logs. And the very first firecracker was made in China. Were created out of bamboo. So that sounds fun.
Because it's naturally hollow.
Full of bamboo fat. All right, so I have... Deb and Hatter, I don't know who's ready. Are you? I know Hatter was still working on him. Do you have
ready, Deb? I got what I got.
Okay, and Deb, are you hanging out for a little bit, or what's going on with you?
I was going to try to just sit for a bit and then
fly away.
But, I'm pretty sure that I've already been here a little bit. I wanted to stay longer, but there's a couple of things going on, so I don't think I'll be able to.
Okay. Hatter, are you staying out for a little while? Can I drop Deb first, or what's going on with you, my friend?
That's fine. Deb goes first.
Okay. All right. Now, I tried to talk about the sea cucumber, but Rack really wanted to talk about the bamboo, so we didn't get very far, so I'm glad you brought this, because Rack and I went down the bamboo chute. I know. Okay, here we go. We're ready. I'm ready, Deb. Anything that you want to say, teach anything. You've got the floor. You know the drill. You do whatever you want.
I am ready. Well, I have to tell you that I wanted to try and thread in a little bit of humor because, like, by the time I was done learning about this creature, I kind of really felt sorry for him. So, like, anyway, you'll see why. But I did want to note that in my author's notes I wrote, and you think you got troubles. So where we're headed here. Okay, and this is called Dude. What crawled up your butt and lived? Here we go.
Everybody mute themselves.
Okay, here we go. 3,000 meters below the seawater surface dwells the bioluminescent headless chicken monster. With no face or eyes, just a mouth, anus, and intestines. Marine biologists call him the swimming sea cucumber. His pink 8-inch body is turd-shaped and diaphanous, showing a digestion tract inside with holes on the ends. He swims, pushing and pulling himself with tentacles and finger-like webbing wiggles as every nub bends. Feeding on benthic sediment from tentacle to mouth, spending just 64 seconds to fill with food. The anterior rail moves with a rowing motion to rise up, and intestines swell from the meal swallowed, not chewed. Swimming, now the anus pulls in water for him to breathe, then jettisons his organs back out to regenerate parts. Is this guts and organs whirlpool seafloor dieting? Eat and spray predators with brown, red liquid farts. Breaths clear the path for fish to swim into his butt, to live inside him, to hide from the predators as he glides. Now a thin, eel-shaped pearlfish live in this invertebrate, dining on his gonads as he swims beneath saltwater tides. Like I said, you think you got trouble. And Paul.
I'm sorry. I should have muted myself. Listen, this is going to sound really weird, but one day I'm going to ask you, Deb, to give me the links, maybe I'll search for them, to all these poems that you wrote for me, because you always do it. So I want to give them to my godsons to read, especially, and I know this sounds weird, but they're teenage boys. They would find this hilarious and be entertained and learn something. I feel like they would be okay. Oh, my goodness. And I feel like they can handle the humor, but listen, you gotta go with what entertains the children and still teaches them. And I think you do this so well because, it's like when you got to the farts part, I almost died. Oh my God, it's facts.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
And that's what's so great about it. And you know what's good too is when teaching, I think it's one of the best ways to get somebody to remember something is to make a strong emotion, and we connect laughter with those strong emotions. And so when you think of something to be like, you remember when this happened, and you remember something that funny happened, but then you remember the information that came thereafter. And I think that you did this so well. And you always do, even if you don't do humor, the way that you tie in is just really cool. This one has to be one of my favorites. I don't write much humor myself. I find adult humor, and I don't mean like adult, I mean like grown-up humor. It's harder for me than little kid humor. You know, I'm like the popsicle stick funny person, not really like like a room of adults telling a joke. I'm really bad at it. I'm bad at getting them. I'm bad at delivering them. And it's just, I don't put a lot of humor into my writing. I don't know. I'm not funny, I guess. But it makes me really appreciate people that can do it and that can run it through the whole thing and really have me laughing. And I was really, really laughing. And I can keep a straight face a lot of times. So when I can't really help myself, it's to know that I'm genuinely tickled. So 3,000 meters below, you bring in the fact. Eyes, just a mouth, an anus, and intestines. You bring in those facts right there. And then, of course, you bring in the name, the sea cucumber, and, oh, where was it? The turd shaped. I started laughing at that, too. I don't know. We all have teenage boy sense of humor, I guess. And then you bring in, too, the webbing, and then... I mean, there were so many facts in it. I mean, it was funny and it was entertaining, but I feel like it was really, like, every single line was a fact. I didn't know this one, how fast it fills, how fast it can, its intestines fast fills with food. I didn't know that one. And I didn't know about the breathing in the water from the anus. That was really cool. And the jettisons of his organs, regenerating parts. I didn't know that either, too. So I not that I know everything about this one. This one, out of the three, I think I knew less about this one than any of the three. So I'm glad that you brought this, too. But even this whole thing with breathing with the fish to swim, when they swim up the butt for protection, I'm like, this is wild stuff. Yeah, this is cool. Every single line, I think, has a bit of information. But when you're reading it, you're so entertained. It's just really, really wonderfully delivered. I'm quite taken with it. So this one might be one of my favorite ones, Deb. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
I'm really glad you liked it. And I have a little bit of food for thought for this one now, because I found it quite fascinating that he can just totally, for lack of a better way to put it, blow chunks, and those chunks are his intestines and everything inside, and then they just regenerate. So my food for thought is, when that little pearlfish gets done gnawing down them gonads, do they regenerate too? Just curious.
Of course.
Oh my gosh.
Well, it says that they were just discovered in 2007, so that the scientists or the biologists don't really know a whole lot about them, but they happen to know that they can, it's not really a fart, but fart out their insides, and then they just grow back. Well, it's food for thought. I mean, if these pearlfish are swimming inside of all these cucumbers and discarding that part, is that ocean birth control? And like, is the species going to become extinct because pearlfish dine on gonads, or do they regenerate? It's a good question, I think.
or maybe that's what makes it them not replenish too much. Like when we were talking about the Christmas trees, remember the Christmas tree worms that we talked about? There's something with, they protect the reefs, and then like there are as a balance, and so sometimes things happen for a balanced way, it kind of balances itself, so maybe that is it's a balance. So I don't know, that's pretty cool. We'll have to keep our eyes out on this one, all that to see where, what facts are learned about it. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at nature and reality and things like that, I want to say that the humor that you employ, it's like Seinfeld's whole routine was based on observation, and that's exactly what you did with this. You know, you talked about all the things that this thing does and how it relates. And you just kind of drew upon that, so that was wonderfully appropriate. and hysterical at the same time, because, you know, you can't help but want to, you know, make that little stupid joke, I think, you know. And sometimes if you don't, people hear it anyway, so you get credit for it anyway, so you might as well just say it, you know. And the I won't say that it's obvious, but it's like your mind ends up going there, I think, because, you know, we're naturally curious. You know, like you said, you know, the minute you hear, like, oh, this fish is eating his gonads, so it's like, well, do they grow back? I mean, you know, it's like when they talk about the octopus that throws its tentacle, you know, it's like, well, does it grow back? You know, it's one of those things. It's just like, you know, now I have to know.
I know, me too. I don't know what made me think of the question, but now I'm freaking curious.
The bamboo made you think of it because, you know, it's sustainable. You know, the bamboo grows really fast, so it's equally sustainable, you know?
Maybe.
It's wild, though, you know, the way things happen under the ocean. You know, they adapt to the depths because, you know, they're down deep in the ocean. They get that bioluminescence or that ability to see in the dark, or some of them are just naturally blind. It's really wild.
Yes, excellent.
Thank you very much.
Things are well. You don't need fantastical things, although I do love them. But there's just go into the ocean. Just go into the ocean. I just realized that we didn't do the Christmas tree of worms yet. That's actually next month. I did three at
maybe
once.
Maybe it's just from me looking at the categories.
You gotta ask yourself. I was just going to call on you to comment on Deb real quick and then ask ourselves.
Okay, some of these traits, I mean, are quite bizarre. I mean, what was the first time that fish dove into the anus of the cucumber? And did the cucumber want it? And then you got it.
Let's ask it.
Put your head
now,
between your legs.
Yeah. More the merrier. More the merrier, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well,
is that your comment for
weird.
Deb Holm?
The first time.
It is weird.
Oh, you got to read. You had to read what you wrote on my poem because I laughed out loud.
Oh, you mean the comment? I said, what's up your butt? What's up your butt, sliming piece of turd-like fish? What's wrong with you, sea cucumber?
Just made me laugh.
This song.
But thank you, everyone.
Oh,
and I do have to go, but I want to tell you that if you were serious about wanting any of them, start with this sounds like I'm tooting my horn, but I swear I'm not. But start with my list called Tens, and almost all the ones that I wrote for your shows turn out to be 10, so you'd probably find a lot of them there, like the peacock,
okay,
lobster and whatnot was all in there.
I will, because I really do. I'm not joking. I really do. The kids enjoy poetry. I mean, of course, they're used to poetry because I've pretty much been reading it to them their whole lives, and I think that they would really enjoy them. I really do. And yours tend to be very factual, and they, like, the kids watch a lot of these YouTube videos with me and learn stuff. I think that the older ones, the boys, would get a kick out of some of your pieces. So I think I am going to do that. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. What an honor. But, I have to go. But another really cool topic. And stay tuned on the boards, everyone, for updates on what's going on around this place. Really cool stuff you keep finding. And while I was looking for that, I just want to mention real quick, I saw something called a teddy bear fish. It really looked like a teddy bear, so something to put on your maybe list.
Oh, yeah. Put that in my inbox. I got this thing, a hairy frog fish, and I try not to do – I try to balance myself because I would just do water creatures every time. I really try to balance myself because we would just be under the sea all the time. But I did find a hairy frogfish. It was crazy. But, yeah, send me the teddy bear fish because I'll probably forget by the end of this conversation. And I'll go take a look at it. Thank you.
Have you seen the poison dart frog?
Uh-oh.
Yes, I do know what that is. Yes, I do know that one. That's really cool. I do know what that is.
Yeah.
There's just so much cool stuff. Thank you, Deb, so much. I appreciate it. I know you have to run. Thank you.
All right. Love and respect, everyone. I don't know. Forget to let me know how you make out tomorrow. Night.
Right. Okay.
I just dropped Deb's poem again. I'm getting crazy. Hold on. I'm putting your poem, Hatter. I just
okay.
I just want to read Deb's poem.
There was two different
Let me, hold on, real quick before you, oh, I like alternate angles, but let me just talk about, just for a second, well, did you learn anything about this while you were doing it before I take, I don't like to be the only one talking, so did you learn anything that you wanted to share about this yet, or do you
want
to
talk?
Well,
yeah, the whole thing about the sea cucumber, that was,
I meant about the planet because that's, yeah, I meant about the planet that you wrote to because we're going to move on to the nightmare planet because, yeah, that's what we're going to. So, I couldn't get the video to play, so I had two different angles I was riding for, I was going for two different ways, and it sort of meshed together and not very well, but
All right, so a little bit about our next prompt for our listeners at home
and you guys.
Yeah.
It's the range of terror on an exoplanet HD. It's called 189733B. It is an exoplanet, and it can blow up to winds 5,400 miles per hour. That's to seven times the speed of sound. Whipping all would be, well, I don't even know what I'm saying. It's just right. The wind is very, very fast. I don't even know what's happening right now. And I do have a few more facts for you, but I'm going to... It has the worst weather. That's why it's called the nightmare planet, because it pretty much, it was obviously, you can't survive on it, like most of these, like not like all of these other planets that we've talked about. And the temperatures can be 3,000 Celsius, and that's just kind of crazy. So let me let you read. And then we could talk about it a little bit more, a little bit more facts, and let me get this stuff together. And then I'm going, and Brack, if you have anything that you want to share, anything at all, please tell me anything, even if it's just really random, which is okay for the show. It's really random. You've been here all night, so I would like you to be able to read something if you wish. And then I'm going to tell you guys what's for next month, because I always like to go over the next month to give you guys a little head. Hatter, take it away.
Okay. Like I said, there was two different avenues I was going down, and it sort of meshed. There's a place that I have been before, a place of killer rain. It calls me back again and again. It thinks I am insane. You breathe the air that it expels, it rancid waves of stink, it leaves a trail of mucus balls with pus and pus the color pink. It crawls across your bed at night, you'll never know it's there. It slimes the blanket that covers you and to find your underwear. It fogs the mountains with its hand, yellow the sky it stains. It will call you out when you are safe and eject you from the game. It plays your time like it takes your time like number four. It will waste the day away. It cuts your hands with razor blades it laid the other day. See?
That's awesome.
And did you have a different alternative ending, or?
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, not really. It was all in my head trying to go which way I was going to go. And
I think it worked out.
The one stands probably doesn't belong.
And calls me back again and again. Pink Simon Singh. I think there are swirls. And, you know, when you think about, and so you're bringing in the facts about this terrible weather, this torrential winds and storms that are on this nightmare planet. So when you're thinking about the idea, well, this is how I think, you're thinking about the idea of nightmares, but you're using the planet. It's terrifying. You know, you breathe in air that expels and rancid waves of stink and leaves a trail of mucus balls and pus the color of pink. I mean, that's gruesome there. Like, gruesome. And crawling across your bed at night, I know I'm reading the whole thing again, sorry. You'll never know. It's there. It slimes the blankets that covers you to find your underwear. I don't know. That kind of makes me think of someone.
I know. That needs to go.
It can take a different meaning, like to pee your pants or, you know, you're scared. But,
I need it.
Maybe the verbiage there.
I agree.
I think it's really cool. The verbiage there. I think when you're thinking about wild and bizarre dreams and being kind of taken by this storm, by these nightmares, it could be, it's quite terrifying. I think that you leapt from the word nightmare, which is one of the things that the city can do, but you still put the facts in the beginning. So,
If you reload it, it's corrected.
Did you tell Heather to get rid of his underwear?
It's just the way that it said, you know. But I think I knew what you meant. I think I knew what it was. It was like, you know, you get so scared, you pee your pants. I get it. I definitely get it. Actually, I'm peace, Hatter, and it seems like some wild nightmare in Wonderland is getting kind of crazy. You know, instead of getting down, sucked down the rabbit hole, you're getting sucked out into outer space, into the exoplanet. So keep an eye out on this one.
It wasn't easy to get a metaphor. So metaphor for it, you know, that's it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Raph, what do you think?
That's exactly what I was going to say, is the metaphor is brilliant, because people talk about nightmares and their lives all the time. And it's easy to say, you know, without, you know, thinking about the planet, that, you know, these are the things that are happening on your life right here on Earth. But, you know, using the planet as an inspiration, it lets him talk about the planet at the same time as you know, bringing it down to Earth in a sense. So, you know, there's that feeling of devastation and loneliness and just, you know, what's going on in your life kind of a thing at the same time as, you know, there's a place that really is, you know, all these things. So it's not just, you know, what's going on in your life here. As a metaphor, it's other people's reality. And, you know, that's what some people don't realize, too, is, you know, all the tragedy that happens in your life, you know, some people write about it in metaphor, and for other people, it's you know, their reality. So it's a cool reminder of that fact.
I agree with that. Yeah. I often hide in characters. Some character writes, I'll put pieces of emotion, and that's how I, you know, and I think some people do that too. I think a lot of people do that. Either they do it by saying about a different character or using metaphor in nature or a storm. And I think that's the great thing about poetry, is that when you read it, it might mean something very personal to someone else, but you're taking it. Sometimes it just depends how you read into it. And as a writer, you can expel some of that emotion. I totally agree with that. And I think it's a brilliant way to do that, to have that duality. So,
what about the line? What about the line, it will call you out when you are safe and eject you from the game? That's reaching it too, isn't it?
I don't think so. I mean, everything's a game. It's a game of life. Yeah. I mean,
right.
It's a game of life. You gamble pretty much every day. You gamble when you get in the car. You take a gamble when you wake up. I mean, everything in life's a gamble. It's all a game. You know, it's just about how you play and it's about luck, really. Somebody can walk out that and help you hit by a car.
It's about reality too, in a way, because you know, in life you get called out even though you're safe. That's you know, the unfairness of life sometimes. You know you were safe, you know, you hate it, and but you get called out anyway. You know, people yell at the ump. So you know, life isn't open to
fair. Pick your battles, yeah, and then it throws you out, get in his face.
Yeah.
It was just the underwear line. Don't touch anything else. Okay, so, all right, so thank you, Adam, so much. And I do have a few facts for you. So this from Earth, it appears bright blue, similar to the hues of our home planet. But its skies are not friendly. It is a very, very deadly world. So again, it's often referred to as a reigns of terror. It is cobalt blue color comes from the reflection of a tropical ocean life on Earth, but from a hazy blowtorch atmosphere that contains high clouds laced with silicate parts and it said that, well, it's kind of theorized, you really can't tell, that it rains glass sideways. So sideways starts glass from whatever chemicals are going on up there and the pressure. So just think of raining sharp glass.
Did you say silicone?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
No, not silicone.
Silicate is silicone.
Okay. Silicone. Good thing we figured
that's the only thing. That's the only thing besides carbon that can sustain some kind of life form. That it's not unheard of.
I don't think anything can live up here. It's pretty crazy. Huh.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure.
So they describe it as caught in a death by a thousand cuts. That's kind of crazy.
What do they live under? What do they live in the ocean?
Maybe they live under the ground.
At the core of the planet.
How hot did you say? 3,000 Celsius? Damn.
Yeah. It's roughly the size of Jupiter, and it takes 2.2 days to orbit around the Earth. So basically, in 2 days, so it's a year. And it's tidally locked, which means it always shows one face to its star, similar to how the moon always shows one face to the Earth. So how our Earth spins, and this one doesn't. It's just one side one way and one side the other.
You got to ask yourself, what purpose do these things have?
Huh?
What purpose?
Well, who's to say that they have to have a purpose? They're just there.
They're just there. It's amazing.
Yeah. It gives us things to talk about on Sky's show.
That's right. It just gives us, exactly. I will say I'm not as adept to outer space as I am to the ocean. So if you have a lot of questions about it, I may not have as many answers as I do about the ocean, because I don't watch as many documentaries about space as I do about the ocean. But I do try to be diverse in my prompts. And I was like, I'm bringing way too much sea life. I gotta branch out. And I do like to learn. I do like to learn about it. But I will say, I do like the creatures in the Earth, but I also realize that I need to balance things in my life as well as the listeners. So I brought in a few planets, and it has been cool to learn.
But unfortunately,
okay,
I'm not as adept, and yeah, I'm not as adept in these types of things. But it's cool.
Well, you know, with the photograph, we're able to with the telescopes, the Hubble and such. Some of the deep space photographs are just incredible, but also the deep water discoveries are just as wild, man.
Well, you know, like the implication of you know the things to explore, you know, like Sky is kind of dancing around without actually saying, you know, the people talk about exploring the outer space, but you know, there's so much undiscovered in our own ocean. And that's more our backyard. But, you know, at the same time, you know, as humans, neither one sustains us. You know, we can't live in space. We can't live in the ocean. So it's kind of a similar theory, a similar thought. You know, it's some place to explore, but it's not, and we need artificial beings to live there.
Yeah.
So it's
you
just one half
yourself,
to be a lot closer.
Only, so,
should we?
You know,
I mean,
on
we tend,
what
we tend
accent,
to screw everything
only,
up. We tend to screw everything up that we get our hands on, so maybe we shouldn't.
So only like 5% of our own oceans have been discovered. Like there, I always say this. Everybody's so worried about other aliens out in space. There's only 5% of our oceans that have been explored. There could be aliens down below. We don't know. There could be intelligent life forms down there. Who knows? You know. The Megalodon lurking in the shadows.
It would be the octopus. It would be the octopus.
The ape.
It would be the octopus.
The
man.
Yeah. So you guys, what I'm going to do is I'm not leaving anybody, but I do want to thank you guys for, Rat, do you have something?
Nope.
Okay, I always like to ask you. So if you will, Guy, I meant to ask Rack a question while I was there. Can you ask him? I'll ask you later. Okay. It's a scheduling question. Rack, remind me to after the show to ask you something. Thank you. So next month, are you ready for these? Hatter, are you on the board?
Yeah.
All right, so click that link I just dropped on the board. Yes, click it. So these are the topics for next month. I already have it up because I like to have it up a month early. It is, what if the Earth was really flat? What if it was actually flat? What would happen? I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of bad things would happen.
I would be right.
So if you write about this one, you don't need to go factual. I mean, you could write me a scary, horrifying poem about all the excruciating things that would happen if all of a sudden our world was just a pancake. Or you could write a poem and be like, the world is really flat, and I don't know. You could do anything you want. But this is a fun video. It's a what-if video. There's these people that do those what-ifs, and I really enjoy them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so check it out. And prompt two is, I kind of got ahead of myself because it is the Christmas tree worms. I love these, okay? If you go onto YouTube and you put in Christmas tree worms, just like not even having like, just do the ones where it says like music and you just watch them bloom. It is beautiful. It's really calming, actually. I mean, I definitely want you to watch the one with the facts in it, but if you just put on your background TV, these beautiful blooming things, I mean, it's really gorgeous. and they look like little Christmas trees. I really love it. So you can write me a Christmas, and I did this, I put this one in here, by the way, on purpose, because July, I often celebrate Christmas in July, and this is your July month's prompt. So you could write about Christmas. You could write factual about the Christmas tree. You could write a visual poem about just the colors and the beautifulness. You know what I mean? You don't even have to put facts in it. You could just write about images if you want. You could go anywhere you want. So you definitely want to check out the Christmas tree worms.
And then the third prompt is a nudie brat. Now, this video is done by someone I just found. I can't think of his name right now, but I will tell you guys next time. And if you look at it, you'll find it. It is the most hilarious video that I've – it's definitely adult. I was a little worried about what that was doing. He has a little bit of word choices. But definitely check it out. It says right here, this video had me cry laughing, but it also had facts. I really was cry laughing. I was about dying in that video. So those are the next three prompts for the next show in July. I hope you enjoy them. And you have a whole month to get started. So you should probably do that. Oh, my gosh. And Deb just sent me a picture of this teddy bear fish. And that is the weirdest thing I've ever – and I've seen a lot of weird things. Okay, I'm going to have to go check that out. Okay. Oh, my gosh. I don't know what that is. That's all I got, guys. We've got about 10 minutes left, and I've got a cool song, and I got my thank yous. And other than that, you guys can chat for about 5 minutes. I want to say thank you to Kay for providing a poem and a SoundCloud. I want to thank Brack and Deb and AP and, of course, Hatter for all calling in, sharing your time and your poetry and your thoughts and your words. And this show I really like, and you guys do wonderful with that, and I really appreciate it. And I appreciate you doing the homework and be willing to discuss things. So. That's all I got. Guys, want to share anything else for the last 5 minutes?
You could bamboo to grow in your house in a little pot.
Can I? Now, you know how I am a plant. Do you think it will survive?
Yes, I do. I do.
Okay. Maybe I'll try. But I don't have any light in my house.
I don't know that it needs that much light.
It doesn't.
I'm going to look at that. Okay, maybe I can find something that I won't kill. As much as I love trees and plants and flowers, there's pretty much nothing. Nothing lasts very long in my house. My mother stopped giving me plants.
Moss.
You know.
Grow moss and bamboo.
I want a plant. I just want a plant. But like I said, I don't have any light. So.
Mums. Get a pot of mums.
She loves her mums.
I do love my mums, and I actually call them mums. Yeah.
I know.
Sky.
That's very clever. Yes.
Sky, could I,
yes.
I entered a contest, which I don't usually do, and I was wondering if I could read the poem.
Yeah, that's good. We have 9 more minutes, so that will fill some time. Absolutely. Drop it.
Oh, okay. And there it is. It's called The Games That We Play, and it was inspired by the contest prompts were some poems by other poets. I picked the one Banjo Lynn, if you're not familiar. She's a poet here at AP. Goes like this. Before I knew it, the time had come, but no one stood in the light. In the dark, my fix has come in echoes, but something didn't feel quite right. Diet eyes need to buy the words from the sacred store. Simple is what simple does. The rules were written in Greek. Wanting to taste your willing stares, I winked your way to show I cared. I topped the Sabbath was a cloudy day, like a cloudy day, waiting for you to come out to play. I found the stage, and there I found you. Your eyes filled the sky, sky, sky. The halo became the shadows and casts, catching the waves as it flew on by. Feeling it closing on the magnetic fields, walking back down is where I came. closing my eyes, like raising my shields, remembering who I found in this most unusual game. The wind settled near to heal your wounds, attacked by the reasons that came from the moon. Pickers and postcards, post-poet floors, checkers and patterns, and we want more. Color my heart with a brush you hold, painting the places that bear the cold, feeling you closer in magnetic fields, guarding my memories, I raise my shield. So the wind settled near to heal the wounds, and the scars take notice as I came too soon. Pictures on postcards and post office walls, reds by the blues, are not at all. Searching for reasons, and we're never quite clear. Listening by numbers, we both draw near, crafting the molds that melts away, learning the rules in the games that we play.
Excellent. This is the one that Deb must have been talking about, where she said she can't say the word sky without saying it three times now. This piece, you know, color my heart with the brush you hold, painting the faces that bear the cold, feeling you closer in the magnetic field, guarding my memories, I raise my shield. I love that part because how our heart wants to give itself away, but, you know, and we have that learned thing. You know, when you fall down, your body automatically puts your arms out to protect yourself because it knows that when you were little, you fell down, and it's a reaction. It's a learned reaction. We learn our body is quicker to protect ourselves than we could even imagine or even think about. And it makes me think, you know, guarding my memories, I raise my shield, those shields that we build inside of ourselves for the numerous reasons that were learned in the past. And, you know, the wind settled near to heal the wounds. The scars take notice that it came too soon. Pictures on postcards on post office walls, red by blues, or not at all. It makes me think of that loss, those sad things, those things that hold us back and make us weary about moving forward, taking those steps, trusting those people, and, you know, especially, you know, the blues, and blues or not at all. It makes me think of those sadder feelings, that those were the only ones that were there to be offered. And yet, we still find ourselves searching. So I really love this one. I thought it was full of depth. I could actually really take apart every sentence and every stanza and go through the meaning behind them. Because it's very, the emotion's very clear, but the words and the metaphors are very intertwined, which I like in my poetry, where I can feel the emotion, but still very much have that journey and that path and those lines of the words themselves, of how they're crafted. Really well done. I'm glad that you brought this one. And I wish you luck.
You know, I repeated a couple lines, and I'll have to fix.
That's not a bad thing, sometimes
repeating lines is, it helps the piece to reflect back on itself and enveloping it and putting forward that meaning more. So it depends how you want to do it.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rack, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead, Rack. Take it away.
No, that's okay. And you know, you talk about emotions and games in the same breath. You know, that there's an implied kind of hurt to that as well, because the idea of you know, treating it like a game is trivializing and disregarding it. So, you know, that's not just the pain of the emotion itself. It's the action behind, you know, why you're doing it and the callousness of it that makes it seem amplified and worse. So it's it's a horrible way to feel. It's a horrible thing to try and deal with and, you know, a great way to express it.
Excellent comment. And thank you again for asking to bring that one. And definitely if we have time and no one has anything else to read, I always offer second reads. We don't actually always have the time because me and Rack like to talk and And Hatter likes to talk too, so now we've got you talking. So, but I'm glad we were able to put that one in, because actually Deb was telling me about it. I do want to thank you all, and we have about 9 seconds. I want to say a little bit about our closing song. It is of Monsters and Men, and they're a group from Iceland, and they're about folk rock band formed in 2010. The members are lead singer and guitarist Nana, or it's a different language. It's not that. In 2011, of Monsters and Men released an EP titled Into the Woods. The band's 2011 debut album, My Head is an Animal, reached the number one position in Australia, Iceland, and the U.S. and alternative charts, while packing number 6 on the U.S. Billboard's 200 album chart, number 3 in the U.K., and top 20 of the most European charts in Canada. Its lead single, Little Talk, was an international success, reaching the top 10 most music charts in Europe, including number 1 in Ireland and Iceland, and number 1 in the U.S. alternative song. Also of Monsters and Men won 2013's European Border Breakers Awards. So I hope you enjoy. This one's called Love, Love, Love. It's a little slower. I thought it would guide us out well. And thank you guys so much for enjoying the evening with me. Ready, and now it's not so much fun. Okay, here we go. Thank you. Awkward thoughts. All right, good night, guys.
Fall steal your heart away. Yeah, maybe I'm a crook for not caring for it. Yeah, maybe I'm a bad, 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 bad person. Well, baby, I know. And these fingertips will never run through your skin. And those bright blue eyes can only meet mine across a room filled with people that are less important than you. Oh, 'cause you love, love, love when you know I can't love. You love, love, love when you know I can't love. You love, love, love when you know I can't love you. Forget before we dwell on it. The way you held me so tight all through the night, it was near morning. 'Cause you love, love, love when you know I can't love. You love, love, love when you